This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. The Texas legislature passed a bill that would allow private citizens to sue providers and distributors of abortion-inducing medication, even if those providers are based outside of Texas. House Bill 7 targets the distribution of misoprostol and misoprostol, the two drugs most commonly used in medical abortions. The bill empowers individuals to file civil lawsuits against those manufacturers, doctors, and distributors that send pills into Texas with potential damages up to $100,000 plus legal fees. Governor Greg Abbott is expected to sign the measure into law, which would spark a new round of legal battles over reproductive rights, but more importantly, interstate jurisdiction. We're now joined by Sarah Corning, a ACLU of Texas attorney, to tell us more. And Sarah, welcome to The Source.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
So it's not law yet. We're expecting Abbott to sign this, but when it does become law and goes into effect, what does it actually mean? Would it prohibit the, for a person to go on telemedicine, they have a unwanted pregnancy, they're able to, and they're still early in that pregnancy, and they would benefit from an abortion pill. Are they going to be able to get that?
So there's a couple things that I want to clarify. So HB 7 is definitely incredibly specific about medication, abortion, and creating this mechanism for people to sue manufacturers, providers, kind of and parties out of state. I do want to flag that even before HB 7, we've seen lawsuits against out-of-state parties. So Texas sued a provider in New York for allegedly prescribing medication abortion to someone in Texas, and a Texas individual has sued a provider in California. And so this is before HB 7, but and so because there's some confusion about this being an entirely new thing, so it's not entirely new, but now with HB 7, it empowers more Texans to bring these lawsuits and makes it more specific. The question of whether people will still be able to, go online and get medication abortion really depends on the reaction of providers, manufacturers, and people out of state. So what I remind Texans is that there's no criminal or civil punishment for the pregnant person to order medication abortion or receive medication abortion in the mail. So the question is how deterred will out-of-state parties be by this mechanism, and whether it'll affect if they're willing to get on the phone with Texans.
So I'm going to highlight that point. Under the law, they specify that a person in Texas is not going to be, subject to this civil litigation or whatever happens here. It's only for the people the manufacturers and doctors and distributors who send the pills into Texas. So an individual in Texas who needs this medication can go online and try to get it without fear. Is that correct?
I want to clarify one thing, just so it's absolutely clear to the listeners. The pregnant person, the person who is wanting to get those medications, there is, so this is also the case for SB 8, HB 7, and our criminal laws exempt the pregnant person from civil liability or criminal punishment. So that's right, that there's no civil liability or criminal punishment for the pregnant person to order medication abortion, receive it in the mail, possess it, or take it. I will say without fear, I can't say without fear, because as we've seen in Texas, there have been investigations into not only to pregnant people, and in fact, there was a wrongful arrest and prosecution of a pregnant person for taking medication abortion. But that aside, I can't say without fear because there have been investigations.
But the law does not target those individuals.
That's correct. The law exempts those individuals, and that is the pregnant person. Now, other individuals in Texas, let's say you, let's say someone orders medication, abortion, not for them, but to give to someone else. Now the act of giving that to someone else in Texas does open them up to potential liability and criminal punishment. So I wanted to make that, I wanted to clarify that, that it's not just out of state parties, but people in state could also be sued, but it's the pregnant person who does not have liability.
So, I mean, I can go across the border into Nuevo Laredo, Nuevo Progreso, and walk into a pharmacy that's right there near the bridge. I can buy a pack of abortion pills for about $25, walk back into the United States. It is not a controlled substance, so they will, the border customs and other agents will allow you to walk into the U.S. with those pills. And that's not illegal, but if I give it to someone to use to terminate a pregnancy, then that's breaking the law.
So I'm going to start with answering that I can't give legal advice on hypotheticals, but it's not a crime or civil offense for someone to possess medication abortion, but it is to give medication abortion to someone else in Texas.
Now, the idea that the state of Texas is trying to criminalize activity happening in another state, like New York State, how weird is that?
Well, so certainly,
and that's a legal term, right? Weird.
Weird, exactly. Yes, yes, that's exactly. That's a technical legal term. It certainly raises a question of extraterritoriality, and that has been raised in other scenarios. Of course, in this scenario, it's become incredibly specific, and I can't comment on active lawsuits. But what would be helpful or illustrative as an example for your listeners is Texas has sued a provider in New York for allegedly prescribing medication abortion to someone in Texas. They got a default judgment in Texas.
Default judgment means that the other party, that the New York folks, didn't engage in this lawsuit. They just ignored
it. That's right.
And so the judge said, well, you know, you lose because you didn't participate.
That's my understanding from the reporting. We're not involved in that case. And so now Texas wants to get the judgment enforced in New York. And what the New York County clerk said is, well, no, I can't do that because of New York's shield law. So that's right, them saying that they won't enforce judgments from Texas. That's where that case is, and we'll see how it plays out. And I imagine that would also happen in suits under HB 7. Someone could get a judgment in Texas, go to another state. The state says that they're not going to enforce the judgment because states have different laws, and generally states do have to respect the laws of other states. But then, without going into a whole legal lecture, it's not as simple as that. And so I think we'll see that play out.
Well, if you think about, what about, like, if this was turned on its head and there's a state out there that they have tougher gun laws, and then someone comes to Texas, they buy a silencer or a machine gun or something, and then they take it back or they ordered it online and they get it in their own state. I mean, is that state able to do the same thing and sue those gun providers that were from Texas?
That raises similar questions. Yeah, I don't think we've seen anything like that specifically. I remember just like reading on the news that something was passed in California that allowed for a civil enforcement mechanism. I think it did have to do with guns. I'm not sure how that played out, but that is like the inverse of the situation. It's certainly tricky. Our federalist system creates these issues, and we'll see how it plays out.
So, and what about interstate commerce? That's a federal authority, right?
It is.
So to regulate interstate commerce, you know, and the mail and all sorts of issues that we have here, the free access of these things. I mean, in order for Texas to enforce this, you have to wonder how much power is going to be necessary to totally crack down on the transmission of these drugs, whether they're through, you know, the private UPS or through the U.S. mail.
That's certainly the what we've seen post-Dobbs is with in the context of abortion, you now have states that have dramatically different laws and policies on abortion care, abortion procedures and medication abortion. And but our lives are necessarily, or most of our lives have some kind of level of interstate quality. And I think that's what we see here is Texas trying to export its laws out of state. But then of course another state has their interests.
Yeah, and the states' rights. I've heard that before. We're gonna take a break here. We're gonna come back, talk some more about the state of Texas bill, could become law soon, waiting for Governor Abbott's signature, that would allow private citizens to sue providers and distributors of abortion-inducing medication, even if those providers are based outside of the state of Texas. You can call in. The number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. The source comes back in 1 minute.
Support for the Source podcast comes from UT Health San Antonio, South Texas' largest academic research institution, where what is discovered in its labs translates into life-changing patient care. More at groundbreakingresearch.org.
Are you ready to amplify your impact through workplace giving? Many employers match donations, doubling or even tripling your support for TPR's local and global programming. Some employers even match gifts from retirees and spouses, so your contribution can go even further. Check if your company participates today by visiting tpr.org/workplacegiving.
You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. With me on the line is Sarah Corning. She's an attorney with the ACLU of Texas, and we're talking about a pending Texas law that would prohibit the the selling or the transmission to giving of someone of abortion pills in the state of Texas, even if those pills came from out of state. So, Sarah, this bill, HB 7, was based upon SB 8, which was the bounty bill on abortions in the state of Texas. And people keep talking about that bill, SB 8, as if it were successful. It was successful in terms that it did shut down abortion in the state of Texas, but it was not successful in the courts, because when people tried to use that law, when they tried to sue an abortion doctor in Texas, saying that he violated the law and they should get all this money, the judge threw it out. It said these people did not have standing. So if someone tries to use HB 7 in order to sue an abortion pill seller, sender from New York City, and they say, you know, I want my money, wouldn't a judge do the same thing?
So the HB 7 was written a little bit differently. You're absolutely right about SB 8 and that it was successful in its chilling effect. And providers almost immediately stopped providing abortion. But then you're right that the individual lawsuits weren't successful because people didn't have standing to be in court. HB 7 is written differently. It doesn't create the same civil enforcement mechanism that SB 8 did. Instead, it allows private individuals to bring what are called QI-TAM lawsuits. And what those are lawsuits on behalf of the government. It empowers private individuals to bring suits on behalf of the government. And what I think that they are trying to go for is hopefully have an easier time with standing because of the nature of a QI-TAM suit. Now we'll see if that plays out in that way. But that's the difference between the lawsuit mechanism that SB 8 and HB 7 sets out.
So on HB 7, say someone who is pregnant, they go do telemedicine with this organization in New York City. They're able to get the abortion pills and they're sent to them in their home here in Texas, and they take the pill and they terminate a pregnancy. How does anyone, so if they don't tell anybody, how is this law enforced? If they just keep it to themselves, if they don't, you know, then is no law broken, or how does that work?
That's a great question, and that really tees up a conversation about something that I think is incredibly concerning, not just with HB 7, but with the strategies that Texas Right to Life organizations are pursuing. So because the way that some of the, so obviously HB 7, there's been no HB 7 lawsuits yet, but going back to, like, for example, the Texas suit or the other suit of the Texas individual suing the California doctor. Well, actually, in the California scenario, I'm not exactly sure how they found out. In the Texas suit, in the complaint, it says that it was either the husband or the boyfriend of the pregnant person found out and let the state know. And I think that the way that it would come to light and therefore leading to lawsuits is the people closest to the pregnant person learning about what happened and then bringing the suit themselves or letting the state know or telling someone, and that person brings the suit. And that's just unbelievably concerning from a, like, interpersonal standpoint and a intimate partner violence and reproductive control. Reproductive control violence against pregnant people is already unbelievably prevalent. It's a massive issue. Violence against women goes up when they're pregnant. And in states where abortion is banned, we've seen that it's used as this kind of control tactic. And what HB 7 allows is, even if the pregnant person wouldn't want a lawsuit against the out-of-state provider, you know, their boyfriend, their husband might bring it anyway. And in fact, if under HB 7, if you're the father, sibling, or grandparent of the fetus and you bring the lawsuit, you can keep the entire $100,000 damages, versus if you're someone who doesn't fit in those buckets, you keep $10,000 and the rest goes to charity. But that's a financial incentive to kind of surveil your girlfriend, your wife, your neighbors. And it creates, I think, a culture that we don't want in Texas of people really kind of watching people's private life in that way.
Well, I wonder, how does the boyfriend or the grandparent, how do they have actually standing in this? Because they're not the people who are going to be going through the pregnancy, particularly if this could be a troubled pregnancy that could cost the health and life of the mother.
Right. So I think that you're exactly right in the, in the SBA context, but those, the plaintiffs who had trouble standing withstanding weren't partners. So I guess the answer to that is, first, the Texas Right to Life organizations are actively working on a theory of partners, like husbands, boyfriends, and family members arguing that they have this interest in this pregnancy. And of course people have an emotional interest, but this legal interest that trumps whatever the pregnant person wants or says, to bring these types of lawsuits. And they were recruiting husbands and boyfriends to bring wrongful death lawsuits against providers. And so whether that's legitimate standing, we'll have to wait for a court to decide that. But in the context of HB 7, because it's this key TAM provision, I imagine they hope there won't be standing problems. But again, we'll have to see that play out.
Let's go to a caller. We have Randall on the phones. Randall, you're on the air.
Hypothetical. My sister and I are in financial straits. My sister orders the abortion drug. The drug is delivered. I turn my sister in. My sister, as you've explained it, will not get in trouble for ordering the drug. Only the doctor who sold her the drug from out of state will get in trouble, correct?
Yeah.
She should not. That's correct.
Okay. Although, so then yeah. I get the reward, and my sister and I split the money. Oh, by the way, you can prove that my sister ordered the drug. Can you prove that she was pregnant to begin with?
All right, Randall. Well, okay, yeah, okay. Thank you for the question, Randall. You're always got an angle, don't you? I appreciate your call. All right.
Okay. So
Sarah Corning, go ahead.
Thanks. So I'll back up and say again, just as a reminder, this is not legal advice, and I'm not giving legal advice on hypotheticals. But again, like I said, yes, the person ordering the medication abortion for themselves, there's no civil liability or criminal punishment. I'm afraid there are just too many facts in that to delve into the rest of that hypothetical, Dave, if that's okay.
Right. So other states are talking about modeling laws on Texas HB 7. I guess they may be holding back to see how this works its way out in the courts and how it's enforced. But, you know, I do wonder, though, about the surveillance issue. And to me, it seems like when we have so many people who are in the state of Texas who want to crack down on abortion because they have that point of view about they're trying to, you know, save the life of unborn children, that they're willing to ignore other laws or other rights that we people might have, whether it's the right to travel out of the state of Texas or the right to communicate with others outside of the state of Texas, or even the right to have your own health care. It's when we get into this absolutism of trying to make sure that no one can have an abortion in the state of Texas, it seems like there is no limit to what they're willing to do.
That's exactly the fear, Dave. That's exactly the fear, that Texas is so singularly focused on controlling pregnant people and the outcomes of their pregnancies that certain other constitutional rights will be in the crossfire, and that they're fine with that. And that should be incredibly alarming, not just for people who care about the access to abortion, because, you know, as we always say, majority of of Texans support abortion access. This is not the reality that Texans really want. But even if you aren't as concerned about abortion rights and access to abortion, our other constitutional rights are certainly at stake with how Texas is proceeding in its singular attempt.
Right, we're trying to police everyone in a super surveillance state to make sure that no one has an abortion. Sarah Corning, thank you so much, an attorney for the ACLU of Texas. Appreciate you coming on board today.
Thanks so much for having me.
That's The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Thank you for listening. We'll be right back.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted by David Martin Davies. Tim Gutierrez is the show's producer. Additional production support from Steve Short, Ruben Garcia, Yvette Benavides, and Dan Katz, Vice President of News. The Source is made possible with support from the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.